I'm turning this morning to the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And our subject, based on these two verses we've read, is unto Christ without the camp, borrowed from verse 13. Unto Christ outside the camp, for that is the meaning of the word without. And we have lessons to learn, God willing, this morning concerning Jesus Christ, who is described as without the camp, outside the camp. And then concerning the exhortation we are given in the beginning of the verse, let us go. Then we would have to understand the meaning of the camp and what lessons it has to teach us. We also need to understand what will be our experience when we go unto Jesus Christ outside the camp. For the word says we have to bear his reproach. Then the reasons for all of these, the blessings which come, is that verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So we would understand why we read Psalm 22, those verses concerning the sufferings of Christ and how he was rejected in the world. He was mocked and scorned, put to death. He was an outsider in this world. And whoever has to have his sins forgiven and become a child of God and have heaven at the last end of his life must also become an outsider. You must. Otherwise, you shall not have a portion in the kingdom of God. The epistle to the Hebrews is one of the popular epistles. People believe it was written by the apostle because of some of the language, but we are not sure of that. The Hebrews are Jews. Their language is Hebrew, and so sometimes they were called Israelites, sometimes they were called Jews, other times they were called by their language Hebrew. And some of them, after Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven, had become Christians, so they were called Christian Hebrews. But their challenge was that some of their unbelieving Hebrews were persuading them that it is not enough that they have believed in Jesus Christ alone, and that they had to also continue performing the rituals and the ceremonies which were prescribed in the Old Testament. And it was leading many of them astray. Many of them were not pursuing the faith as they ought. They were not growing as they ought. And some, it appeared even as if they were apostatizing. That is, it appeared as if they were drawing back. They had come forth to believe, and then they were descending again into Judaism, which was the religion of Israel before Christ came. But apart from the message of the epistle to Christians, there are some passages in it which also refer to unbelievers. For such is the Bible, that even when Christians are being spoken to, there are lessons for those who are yet to become Christians. And this verse is one of them. Primarily, it was about how the Jews who had become Christians must continue and leave behind entirely all the Hebrew religion, the Judaism, and then go to Jesus Christ outside the camp. And the reasoning was that when Jesus Christ himself lived in the world, in those days in Israel and in Galilee where he did a lot of his ministry, he was an outcast. They did all sorts of wrong things to him. They called him all sorts of bad names. And he was never part of the main Jewish religion which the Pharisees and the Sadducees were practicing. Then finally, when he was crucified, he was also taken outside the gates of Jerusalem. Calvary, where he was crucified, was outside the gates, or outside the camp, outside the city of Jerusalem. So the Jews are exhorted that they should not become Jews, because the Jewish religion was passed, and that they should go forth to Jesus Christ outside the camp. They should practice a different form of religion. But the message also goes to those who are yet unsaved. But for the picture of the camp given us is also a picture of this world. We can extend that and understand all the things in this world, including popular religion, including pharisaical behaviors by many of the pastors in our land, and then including typical worldliness of pleasures and fun and partying and drinking and alcohol. All of those would be part of the behavior of people in the camp, or the characteristics of the camp. So when we come to the chapter 13 which we read, the apostle is closing the epistle and he is giving various exhortations. He begins with hospitality. He begins with brotherly love, actually, in verse 1, and then he goes on to talk about how Christians should be hospitable, and then they have to also make sure that they maintain marriage fidelity. That is, there should be faithfulness to each other, for marriage is an honorable thing. Then he goes on to speak about how and why they must honor the pastors who preach to them and who rule over them, all the way down to the fact that they should be faithful in Christianity, because true Christianity is not about eating and drinking, it is about Jesus Christ. Verse 8, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then he goes on to give some reasons why Jesus Christ must be kept as the highest priority and highest thoughts in our minds. Some of the reasons he fetches from the Old Testament, that those people, when they brought their animals for sacrifice, those animals would be offered on the altar, but the bodies would be burned outside the camp. And that was a picture of how Jesus Christ was also going to be sacrificed, that he would be offered and then suffer outside the camp. And those reasons are what we are going to be considering. So let's come to the verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And the word "let us go for," they speak of three things. One of them is that it is a call to remember. It is as if people are sleeping and forgotten that they are in a movement. All of us are travelers in the world. Who doesn't know this must remember this, that life is a journey. And every day is a step taken in the journey towards the end, which is the end of life. So let us go forth is to remind those who have sat down and forgotten that they are traveling in the world. It is also to remember that you should not settle in the world, and that life is a journey, as I've said. And therefore, the Bible says that if you remember truly that you are on a journey, then you will never make yourself a citizen and a settler of this world, but you consider yourself as a stranger and a pilgrim here below. A stranger, one who does not count himself a part of the main activities going on in this world. A pilgrim is one who is on a journey. Life on the whole is a pilgrimage. Why? Because it is an unsettled experience. Nobody remains the same in the world. Life is full of restlessness, because when we have had our best experience, in a short while we begin to suffer hunger, we suffer diseases and all sorts of troubles. There is no true and lasting happiness here, no true joy and comfort here. Even if you have bits and pieces of them, all at the end of your life will be a life of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is full of trouble, Job says. It is full of diseases and disappointments, deaths and losses, cruelty and hatred. I'm sure you would have known these things. That is a call for us to remember. Let us go forth. It is also an exhortation for us to separate. Separation from the world. We are born into this world, but God wants us to be separate from the world. The world is about your family, about your parents, about your education. All of those may be good in themselves in terms of our lives here, and yet there is a call to separate. And the point is, so that you remember that you don't belong here, and so that you also handle the things of the world very loosely. You don't hold them with a tight fist, never to leave them. You have to hold the things of the world very loosely. That is one of the commands being given us here. Let us go forth, therefore. So it is separation, which means repentance from sin. It means leaving behind your past life of self-interest, self-determination, self-pleasure. That is our problem, friends, which I'm sure many of you know. It is difficult for us to leave aside our personal interests and our passions. But we are called unto separation, to reach out to God for forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, His Son, and that we should stop participating in the sinful pleasures of the world. Sex, alcoholism, partying, drunkenness, all of those, including lying and deceit, practicing corruption in order to gain the things of the world, amassing wealth, worshipping property, all of those are what we call the sinful pleasures of the world. But another main aspect of separation is that you have to openly forsake your sins and the world. You cannot be call yourself a Christian and you are a secret one. Nobody knows you are a Christian, because what you say with your mouth, what you do with your life is entirely different from that. Let us go forth. It is a command to move. There has to be a change. And that is the beginning of what we are thinking about here. And therefore, I asked, do you know the salvation that is to be found in Christ only? Because that is where we are heading to. Let us go forth. There may be many ways before us to tread, but there is only one way which we should tread, and that is Jesus Christ, who is mentioned later on in the verse. That is important for us, friends. Separation. This world is like a magnet. Its power is to pull us into itself, and it provides a lot of things to draw our attention to itself so that we forget about Christ. And what the devil does is that he takes the things which God gives us to use, including food, including relations, including money and property, those things which we have legitimate rights to have. He uses those very things, and then before long we are worshipping them. Therefore, there is a lot of power in the world which is very forceful upon our lives to draw us into itself. It makes it very difficult for us to forsake it. It makes it very difficult for us to leave it behind us and be for Christ and Christ alone. And some of the messages which are told us, contrary to what is being told us here, are these. While the Bible says, let us go forth unto Christ outside the camp, the world says, let us make the world a better place. The people of the world says, let us set up institutions to reform people. The world says, let us use education to refine people. Let us produce motivation speakers so that they get people to have high self-esteem and that they will do the right things. Let us do more counseling, which will turn people from committing adultery to their spouses. Let us increase production of goods and services. Once people have a lot to eat and a lot to drink and a lot of money, they will never do the wrong things, they say. And that when people do the wrong things, it is not because they are sinners, as the Bible says, but it's because they don't have much money. It's because they are not paid well, and that is why they steal and so on. That may be related to the problem of sin in the heart, but it is not the main one. The world says, let us create jobs and pay them well. But the Bible says, let us go forth unto Him, Jesus Christ, outside the camp, bearing His reproach. Friends, I said the first point concerning the let us go forth is about a remembrance. The second one is about separation. And the third one is about salvation. Let us go forth. The picture is that a sheep has gone out of the flock, wandering in the wilderness. It's in danger, and it is being called upon to go forth to the shepherd. Let us go forth. It is salvation. The assumption is that all men born into this world are born as lost people. You are deluded, you are confused, you are ignorant. Do you believe this? The Bible says so, whether you believe it or not. And if you don't, you will continue to live in deceit and you will die in your sins, friends. Know that the word "let us go forth" is to make us know that we have somewhere to go, that our current and present state is evil and sinful. So, let us go forth is unto salvation, the third one. So don't remain as you were born. Despite your good education, despite your good health, despite that things are getting better in your life, despite the fact that the more you sin, the more things are going well for you. Don't settle in your natural condition, friends. Don't try to use the world to improve your spiritual condition, because the world has nothing of that. And please, I hope you remember the picture we painted up front, that Christ, when he came into the world, he did the best, and yet he was an outsider. And so must we if we will be his people. Go forth unto spiritual safety, spiritual light, spiritual wisdom, spiritual peace, spiritual rest, spiritual healing, spiritual satisfaction. That is salvation, friends. That is the blessedness of the one who is born again, the one who repents of sin and believes in Jesus Christ. But like I said earlier on, the world will provide you false versions of the things I've just mentioned. Security and safety, light, wisdom, peace, rest, healing and satisfaction. This world will tell you that there is safety and security in money. After all, if I have a lot of money, I can buy the best medical care. If I have a lot of property, I will have things to enjoy. I will never lack anything. Career and politicians and business networks are people's safety. They join clubs, they join societies, and they bank all their hopes on them, because their business networks are the things which will give them their livelihood. That is a false security and a false safety. There is a false light. They call something enlightenment. When you become well educated and you can read and write, and you have an academic title, and you sit in an office in an air condition and wearing a tie, and then you are signing papers and people come and greet you and go, they call it enlightenment. They call it progression. But people do all of this and they die in their sins. And that is why we say it is false hope. It is a false light. It is not to say you shouldn't go to school and become knowledgeable and learn a trade. It is to let you know that don't bank your hopes on that, for it is a false light. Science and philosophy. There is a false wisdom which is offered on the television, in social media, by movie stars, by philosophers, by elderly people who make themselves the wisest in the world. And again, by these things themselves, there is nothing wrong. It is only when people bank their hopes on them. And remember what I said, the world is a pulling force. It is a powerful magnet, which even when you are enjoying these things legitimately or rightly, it doesn't take long before you worship them. A false peace provided by the institutions of the world, like United Nations and other governments, and a false satisfaction, which is provided by the drinking joints, by the betting houses, by the entertainment points, amusement centers, by sex and alcohol, by leisure and entertainment. All these are false versions. So let us go forth. It is about remembrance. It is about separation from the world, and it is about salvation. Let us go forth. And the second part of the verse says, unto him without the camp. Unto Christ, of course. The context tells us it is so. Remember what I've said earlier. Let us go forth. We put before you 1,000 ways, and you ask yourself, which way should I go? And the answer here is unto him without the camp. Unto Christ. Not to a pastor, not to a club, not to a society or a church. Remember that unto Christ also means Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign Lord and God the Son. He is not a mere man. So we say unto Christ is at the same time saying unto God, because he is God. Remember this, that Jesus Christ, if he was a man or the highest angel, he could never be anybody's savior. He must be God before he is the savior. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, therefore he is eternal. And that is why we say he is God. And then verse 12 says he is the sanctifier of the sanctifier who sets apart repentant sinners from the world unto himself. It says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gates. He could not do that in Israel, in Jerusalem. He had to do that outside Jerusalem. That is where hope and life and satisfaction would come from. Sanctification, which is setting apart. That word sanctify means to separate, to set apart for holy purposes. Jesus Christ, and to him we should go, because he suffered outside the camp, and then because he was sacrificed outside the camp. Verse 15. We should go unto him also because he is the shepherd. Verse 20. He is called the great shepherd of the sheep. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The great shepherd of the sheep. Christ is the shepherd. Why are we emphasizing this? Because you need a guide. The world pretends to provide guidance through the books, through the movies, through politicians. There is a pretense that we have the wisdom to tell you what is right. But it is not true. Only Christ is the true shepherd, the good shepherd, who will give you what is the proper guidance and direction in your walk through life. And that is why you need to go unto him. But you cannot find him in this world, friends. You cannot find him in the streets. People try to learn Christianity from television. People try to learn Christianity from billboards. People try to learn Christianity from novels. When people write about fiction and they put in a few Bible words, people think that is where Christianity can be found. No, you have to find him outside the camp. There is a hidden location in the world where Jesus has to be found, and that is in the Bible. Not outside in the world as people try to make us think. He is the savior of sinners who repent and believe in him. That is the gospel, friends. The one who lived and died to atone for sins, and the one who is ever living. Unto Christ, unto him alone, friends. And remember, it is false when people say salvation comes by believing in Christ plus your good works. That is dangerous. That is very false. Mixing good works with believing in Jesus Christ is very dangerous. Unto Christ alone. And that is why he is outside the camp. Not only as an example, as Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Not only as a teacher, a miracle worker, and a good man. You don't go to Jesus for that. You fail. You don't go to Jesus Christ thinking he was a historical figure. You go to him as the one who was crucified outside the camp, without the camp. So please, I would like you to know, as I've been saying, I don't look for Jesus Christ from the many false pastors who are abroad today. All over in the media, all over, people have gone talking about Jesus Christ, but what they do is that they use him to make money. They use Jesus Christ to puff themselves up. They use Jesus Christ to draw attention to themselves. They never preach about Christ and him crucified. Anytime you hear them mentioning Jesus Christ, it is only that they themselves will become better people. Why do we say Jesus Christ is outside the camp? Look at the newspapers. Look at the television and radio. Look at the educational institutions. Look at the political talk. Look at religion of our day. Look at education. And you see that Jesus Christ is not there. As I said, don't be deceived when his name is mentioned. Because there are other Jesuses or there are other Christs. People mistake other Christs, or they make themselves their own Christs. Who is in this world? But the Bible tells us we have to look for that Jesus who is outside the camp, the one who is not common, because true religion has never been common. Where can you find him? In the Bible. In the Bible, which is the pure word, that is where he is set out as the suffering savior, where he is set out as the one who overcomes the problem of death, the greatest enemy of man. You can find him only in the Bible, where his authority as the judge of all the earth is spoken. How would you think about living a life despising Jesus and then one day knowing that you will stand before him as your judge? So remember that you have to find him not in any place you think, but you will find him only outside the camp. There is a gospel which is false. There is a gospel called social gospel, which says people are sinners because they don't have good education, because society has gotten bad, because there is so much poverty, that is why people are sinless. Therefore, how you those people can be better people is when society gets better. So let us try and fix society. When we fix society, people will be better. This is why some churches have to go and build schools, build hospitals, get into a lot of social activities, so that, as they think, society, when it gets better, people will become less sinful. But that is not true. There is another gospel, which is called the prosperity gospel, which says people are sinners, and that is why they are poor. And therefore, the reason why there is wickedness in the world is that our society has ensured that things get bad. And when things get bad, people become poorer. Or that sin is related to poverty and disease, that one way of becoming a Christian is to make sure that you are in good health and you have a lot of money. And they call it health and wealth gospel, preached a lot, even in mainline denominations, which used to be better. And they say the mark of a Christian is when he has a lot of money. The mark of a Christian is when he never falls sick. The mark of a Christian is when things are going well. But that is the opposite of what we have read. Where was Jesus Christ? He was outside the camp. Even when he hadn't died, he was an outcast. He was called the son of a prostitute. He was told that the miracles he did with the powers of Satan. He was insulted. They bore false witness against him and they put him to death in place of a robber and a thief. And what about his people who followed him? They were all outcasts. They were imprisoned. They were killed. This is the Christian life, friends. I don't mean you will be killed or you'll be in prison, but I'm painting the picture of what it means to go to Jesus outside the camp. You must be willing to bear his reproach, as we see in the verse. You must be willing to leave many pleasurable things of the world. You must be willing not to participate in many of the things the people of the world do. Is it difficult to do? Yes, because the heart is drawn to the things of the world by nature. You need Jesus Christ to break the heart of stone which is in you. You need the Holy Spirit to melt your heart. But it is doable, because God has promised to do it to all who repent and believe in him. Outside the camp. So please, there is a true gospel, there is a false gospel. There is a national gospel preached by nations saying that the whole nation is a church. When you go to Sweden, the state is a church. When you go to England, the whole nation is a church. So long, once you are born into the country, you belong to the Church of England, which is called the Anglican Church. That is a national gospel. It is not the gospel of the Bible. We met a lady 2 weeks ago when we went out to University of Ghana to witness. And as I spoke to her and asked her, she painted a picture that she was converted. She spoke that you must believe in Jesus Christ. And then she said she's a Roman Catholic who also believes in the Mass. So I asked her the final question: are you a born again person? have you been born again? And she said, yes, I've been born again. So I asked, what does it mean to be born again? And she said, oh, I am born again because I was born into a Christian family, and secondly, I have been born into the church through confirmation and so on. And I said, do you know what it means to be born again by the Spirit? Because the things you have told me does not mean you are born again at all. But that is the kind of gospel preached by churches. It is called the church gospel. You become part of us and then you are saved. That is what SDAs preach. That is what Church of Christ people preach. Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholic. Be part of the church. Be born into the church and then you become a Christian. As I said, that is called the church gospel. There is a true gospel which is about the true Christ. This gospel is hidden. It is in the Bible, but people don't read it. It is there in black and white, but people despise it. Because that gospel will tell you that you have to forsake the world and go to Jesus outside the camp. Outside the camp, remember, the camp is a place of evil. It has become so not because God made it so, but because sin has entered it. It has become a dreadful place where all practices are there which despise Jesus. As I said, you find no newspaper in the world which is sold promoting Christ. It will promote fashion, it will promote education, it will promote agriculture, every other thing, and Jesus Christ is set aside. Typical discourse of people in the world does not mention him at all. But this world is a camp. That camp is a picture of a prison which has held people captive and have barred people from leaving it. It is ruled by the devil and his people. It is a hopeless place. Christ did not make it his home. And why should you make it your home if you want to become a child of Christ? Why don't you want to be with him? For where he is are where his people also go. Christ never made this world his home. Even before he died, he never took part. Even in the mainstream religion of Israel, that is the Christian calling. So remember that these are important things for us to learn, friends. The third part of the verse says, bearing his reproach. The reproach of Christ. The word reproach means the shame of Christ. It is how Jesus was made a laughing stock, and he was mocked, and people hate him, and people think he is unintelligent. That is what we mean by reproach. The reproach of Christ. Whoever becomes a Christian must bear that reproach. You do the best in the world to people. You visit them in hospitals. You pay people school fees. You help people through life as a Christian, and yet they will turn against you. Are you willing to bear that? That is the Christian life. Bearing his reproach. So, the reproach is the fact that if you are to become a Christian, you must remember that it comes with hatred and hostility by people. Yet, it comes with the smiles of God on your face, and you enjoy his blessings, and you become one who is protected by him, directed by him. It is a better life. That is all I want to say. Despite all the reproach, I'm sure you know Jesus Christ, he went through the suffering, he was killed, and yet now, after the cross, came the crown. After the suffering came the pleasure of having his people gathered in who worship him. That is the Christian life. Let us go forth unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. Therefore, whoever suffers for Christ has an honor. But the world will tell you, whoever is suffering actually is a lazy person. You are poor because you are lazy. People hate you because you don't try to do the things they do. And all kinds of insults will be poured on you when you are looking to the world for its applause. But Christ, you have to bear his reproach. Yet, in bearing the reproach, you get honor. You get a lot of privileges, just as he did. This is the picture. When people go to live in England, they went because, at the beginning, not everybody, but many of them, they went because they thought Ghana was a bad place, a very poor place. You don't get the things you want. You suffer a lot here with the sunshine, with poverty. So I take my leave and I go to England or America. And such a person, he goes to live there, enjoy the milk and the money and the good environment there. And then one day, he gets fed up with all that kind of environment and he begins to miss home. And then he decides to come back home. And all his friends come and tell him, what are you going to do back home? He listens to the radio and everything bad is said about Ghana and Africa. The gutters are dirty. They are stinking. The hospitals don't provide the best health care. The education system, they say, all sorts of horrible things are said about Ghana. But the man says, yes, despite all of this, I will still go back to my country. Away with all your money, away with all the good things you have here in London, I will go back to my country. That is the picture of what it means to go forth unto Jesus Christ outside the camp. Is he insulted? Yes. Is he forsaken in the world? Yes. Is he despised in the world? Yes. But will you go to him? You must. You must, like the man returning from London. All sorts of bad things are said about Ghana, but I'll still go. Because I have found that all the good things you are giving me here, they are trappings. They are just cover-ups for wickedness. I don't mean London is bad. I'm talking about the reason why people come down. And that's a picture of what it means to go to Christ. You say, I will go no matter what. Even if it means bearing his reproach, I will go. And so you should remember that to become a Christian has to come with suffering, but it is a blessed one. What about if you don't want to become a Christian? Well, I have to tell you that in this world, you will still suffer. Why? Verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Have you understood those words? It is the reason why, even if you don't become a Christian because you think you will bear the reproach of Christ and you want to enjoy the things here and have all the pleasure and be like the typical gentleman in the world who goes about wearing your suit, working in your bank or in your telecom industry, going back and forth, going for a nice pension, getting a big pension package, and then living off this world. Well, if you think that is what life is and you will be happy, you are deceived, because it is better to bear the reproach of Christ than to begin to suffer in this world. Why? Because it is not a continuing city. It means in this world there is uncertainty, everything is changing and decaying, there are a lot of diseases. Look at our cities. They are the best environment you can find in the world. Alright, all the capital cities, they have better healthcare, better roads, better lighting, better jobs. People want to live in the city. So there is something good about cities. And yet the Bible says we have no continuing city. The original message was to the Christians who had become the Jewish Christians who had believed in Christ. And as they were suffering persecution by the Jews, they thought they had to fight back and remain in Jerusalem. They have forgotten that Jesus said they must go out of Jerusalem into Judea and the other parts of the world. So the writer here exhorts them and says, Jerusalem will not continue. The prophecy was that it was going to be destroyed. Don't think Jerusalem is your best place. David founded it. It's a blessed place. The temple was here. But don't think it will continue forever. And that picture is to us today. The world, people say it is getting better because of technology, because of science, because of education, because of better healthcare. It is true. And yet man is getting worse and worse. Morality, the heart of men are getting bad and bad and bad. Wickedness is increasing. More bloodshed is going on. More chemical weapons are being developed. More biological weapons are being used to kill. More abortions are going on. The world is getting worse spiritually. It may be getting better, as I said. And those are the reasons why we speak of the fact that here we have no continuing city. If you look to this world for all the pleasures and comforts, know that they will change. The Bible says that there will be evil days to attend every man. Diseases will come, disappointments will come, life will be unbearable one day. As you grow and grow, you will find that the things you could do with enjoyment, you can't. When they put food in front of you, you eat very little. Diseases will increase, you go for more medical checkups, life will get worse. That is why you need Christ. For here have we no continuing city. None of the cities of the world, none of the things of the world will give you what you need. So I'm calling on you, friend. The last words of our passage is that we seek one to come. There is a city to come. It is called heaven. The Bible says it is yet to come. Does it paint a picture why Jesus Christ is outside the camp? Yes. It is yet to come. So are you looking for Christ here? In your books, in your education, in the false pastor's mouth, you have to look for him in the Bible. And the Bible speaks of heaven. We seek one to come. It is a promise, and it is something we must look for. It means heaven is not yet. All the pleasures promised, which will last forever, they are yet to come. The pleasures of the world are just for a season. We seek one to come because God has promised it. And God never fails in his promises. So you must seek heaven with all your heart, as I'm closing. Not half of your heart. I'm sure you can see from the passage. Let us go forth. You have to leave one and go into the other. If you keep one leg in the world and one leg in Jesus Christ and have a very shallow Christianity and speak Bible words, and yet one of your legs is in your love for money, your love for the things of the world, you are deceived. Only Christ. You must go to him outside the camp bearing his reproach and look for the city which is yet to come. You have to go forth unto him. And so, if you think you are a Christian, the message also comes for you to do a self-examination. Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you outside the camp truly? Do you think you have gone outside of the world unto Christ, outside the camp bearing his reproach? Are you sure? That is the lesson we have to learn. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. And may God bless our lesson this morning for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our gracious and our heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and how you have described him so clearly for us. If it wasn't for these words, we would look for the false Christ. We will make up our own Christ and then go to him and then perish finally because we would have found the false one. But you have made us understand the true Christ. He is the one who is outside the camp, and unto him you have commanded us to go, so that while we bear his reproach and his sufferings and be hated by the world because we have left it, we will yet find the continuing city. We will seek it and find it because you have promised it. All who come to Jesus Christ by repentance and faith shall find this city which is yet to come, the blessed place called heaven. Lord, bless this lesson to our hearts and save the unconverted here for your glory's sake. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our last hymn, hymn number 39, version 3. Hymn number 39, version 3. Almighty Maker of my frame, teach me the measure of my days. Make me to know how frail I am, and spend the remnant to thy praise. Hymn number 39, version 3.